service numbers this morning, especially our Sunday school. A lot of kids are not with us today for some reason. There must be something happening we don't know about, but we appreciate the ones that's here today. And we know we have a lot of sickness in our church, so that's the sad part about it. Had a fish fry yesterday out here at church, and I tell you what, it was superb. I tell you, you missed a good blessing if you was not here yesterday. Plenty of fish and fellowship. And even if you wasn't even hungry, the fellowship would have filled you up. It was a great time of fellowship, and I always like to be with God's people. Anytime this church meeting, I want to try to be here, and I appreciate the ones who made a special effort and all the work was put in for our fish fry. It was great, and we appreciate everyone and all the work was done. We certainly do. Wednesday night, I pray that you be back with us Wednesday night. Our Wednesday night crowd has been very good. Invite somebody to be with us on Wednesday night, Sunday school. The greatest Bible study you can have is in your Sunday school class. I hope that mothers and fathers will understand that the greatest thing they can do for their children is bring them to Wednesday night in Sunday school. They might know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you love them, you'll have them here, I can tell you. If you love the Lord, you'll be here yourself. And the best way to dedicate your kids to Sunday school and also to church is dedicate yourself. If you don't dedicate yourself, it won't do any good to dedicate your children because they're going to follow mother and father. So we thank you here this morning, today. And on a sadder note, we have several we want to mention that's already been prayed for here this morning. We know that Sister Norris is in very critical condition in Savannah. And the Lord knows exactly the outcome. We don't. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. But the Lord knows exactly what's on our hearts and our minds. So we miss her here this morning and her family to be praying for her. They said she did not have a stroke, but she had aneurysm, and they're trying to relieve some pressure off her brain at this time. Also understand that Big Ashley was on the way to hospital this morning, Bud and Bonnie, and he thought he may have a facial stroke too. So he's headed to Waycross, Cross, should be in Waycross Cross at this time to check him out, so certainly want to be praying for him. And Ronald Griffin's sister-in-law is in Jacksonville, and she is in very, very critical condition. In fact, she's on life support, and they expect them to take her off of life support, and it's just up to God at that time. So we have several in our church family that's got some critical family members, and we surely like for you to be praying for them. I can just feel the presence of the Lord here this day. And we have so many unspoken requests. The families today in our church and in our area, I know it's going through a great hard time, so we should say. So we have so many unspoken requests this morning. We'll be praying for them, their family members and loved ones. We understand Mark Walker back out of the hospital and doing good as expected. And that's a praise report. Continuous remember those who lost a loved one, Miss Arlene Cup. They had their funeral in Jacksonville Friday. Still remember that family and others that we don't know about. Is anyone else that we need to remember here this morning and put on your prayer list to be praying for? People that's traveling, we want to be praying for those that's traveling. That's right. She said that Jimmy Lowen back in the hospital. Yes. Anyone else that we can think of to add to our prayer list to be praying for this day? No, we have a lot of sickness. It says when it rains, it pours, and I can really understand it, the death and the sickness that we're having in our church family and our community and others that we have not called out this morning. We know that the Lord is in control. So be praying for these. We'd already have prayer forms, so be praying for those people here this morning, as those in the hospital, those that's traveling, that have the traveling mercy. This morning we have to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ because he's the one that has the answer to all of our problems, whether it's sickness, even in death and sorrow and difficulties. It's Lord Jesus Christ. So Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 10, we want to talk about a subject as I began to read this, and it fit pretty good, I thought, so all the sickness and death and sorrow that we're having, and I have a word for it, but God. Now that's then verse 4 of 2 Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, but God. As I think about that and all the problems that we're having and the sickness, difficulties, and death and the problems that we're having in your family and my family and just so many difficulties, but God, Oh, I tell you, it just rung a bell when I read that, but God. You know, people believe in creation, that God has created everything, that God has created us today, and praise God for people that really believe in creation. No matter what is taught in our school system, that you come from a monkey, an evolution. And it's a sad, sad thing to think about people really that believes in evolution, because the people that believe in evolution do not believe in God. That's all there is to it. That's what evolution is all about. That's the reason it's taught in our school system today, is to do away with God. That's all it is, just to do away with God. And they're trying to tell you where life come from. I seen on television the other day, they thought they figured out where life had come from to this planet, come from another planet. Well, all the thing that does is move life from this planet to another planet. It's still God. Now, whatever they think, it's still God. Well, I really, really feel sad about people that do not believe in God. Because God is God. In the beginning, it says God, but God. But you see, also, it's also sad for the people who believe in creation, that God has created us in His image, breathed into us the breath of life, and we became a living soul. But yet there's so many people that we know of today, it's hard to find someone that really do not believe in creation. I mean, whoever you'd ask, your friends, your neighbors, and your family members, I believe it'd be hard to find anybody that did not believe that Jesus Christ was the creator of all. That God created everything. But the sadness is that so many people is living their life as those believe that there are no God, and they're living their life as they are no God. They have not accepted what Christ done on Calvary's cross. They have not accepted what the Creator done by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. But we know that God moved in. In these verses here this morning, we know without God, we would be in very, very sad condition. But God stepped in. But God. I'd like to ask you the question this morning now, and you think just a moment. Where would you be without God? Where would you be without God? That is a sad, sad thought. But yet there's millions of people running out around the world today, and even in and out some of our homes today, and they don't know God. They don't know God. They live in as are no God. But no matter what or how they try to live, God steps in. It says, but God. But God. Let's read a few of these verses of scriptures in chapter 2 of Ephesians. And this is our life. I know that you've seen on television, this is your life many, many years ago. Well, really now, for you as a child of God, this is your life in these verses of scriptures. Where you were, the day present, or you're going to. All in these few verses. And it says, and you, talking about you and me, have He quickened. That means brought alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedient, among whom also we have all our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherein He loved us. Let us pray. Father, again, we just want to thank You that we might be able to say, but God. Father, we have prayed for Norris, but we can say, but God, in her situation. We have prayed for Big Ashley, but we can say in his situation, but God. Ronald's sister-in-law, but God. Father, here today there's some hurting souls. People have problems and difficulties in their families. It seems like it's just being torn apart. But we can say today, but God. We thank You, Jesus, today. How merciful You are. In the grace, Jesus, help us to understand what we were, what we are today, and what we're going to be, because we can say, but God. We thank you in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, to open up our heart for the understanding of these scriptures, that certainly that we might see Jesus Christ and all of his glory and power this day. And we thank you. Here we have the past, we have the present, and we have the future, because we can say, but God. The thing of the Bible is grace all the way through. The Word of God is grace. And no wonder old John Newton wrote that song, "It's Amazing Grace." Can you think about it now when you say, but God? It's just such amazing grace. Such amazing grace to look back and see where you were, yet without God in your sins. But God moved in upon your life. If you know for sure today, without a shadow of doubt, that you're saved and on your way to heaven, you can say, but God. Because you was going around doing your own thing, and you was alienated from God, and you was dead in trespasses and sin, as these verses tells us. But God, why did God step in on your life? Why did God step in on your life and my life? But God, the honest answer that we can know is just the grace of God. So rich in grace today. We're saved by grace. That's our past. But I tell you, we live by grace. That's our present today. And our future glory will be by grace. But God. But God has the healing grace. He has the grace to restore us. He has a grace to sustain us. He has a grace to transform us. And it's all by grace. And I can say, but God. But God, what he's done for me. You know, this is a testimony here this morning. But God, for each and every one of us today, do you know Jesus Christ today as your Savior? If you really do, that's what you can say, but God. In that verse 7 I didn't read, it says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. I know a lot of homes, a lot of people love ball. I hope they don't love ball better than they love Jesus, though. When it comes time to the house of God, you know you need to set everything aside, because Jesus Christ is the one that saved you. But people like ball, and there's nothing wrong with it. A lot of times they have a lot of trophies in their homes. Maybe it's some bowling trophy. Maybe, you know, it's some football. Maybe it's a golf trophy. A lot of us are hunters. You know, whenever you go hunting, you kill something and you carry it over there to Wayne Carter and you have a trophy to hang up in your house. You know, there's nothing wrong with trophies. I know a lot of schools, when you go into schools, they have trophies in their schools. You know, and at a church, I know a lot of churches also have trophies out there in the foyer. Maybe it's some type of athletic program they have in their churches, and they have some softball or maybe volleyball trophies. You know, the greatest trophy that any church ought to have, it ought to be a trophy of soul winning. It really ought to be a soul winning. How that we need to turn all of our energy into soul winning and be a soul winning church for Jesus Christ, because but God stepped in. That's what happened to me. Somebody told me about Jesus Christ, but God. Now, we are his trophies of grace this morning. I know a lot of you may be feeling you down and out, and you have problems that you're going through this morning, and what you've been through in the hospital and sickness and difficulties and everything we have. But God, I want to tell you, tells us that we are trophies of his grace this morning, that you are somebody. And he demonstrates this through all eternity, not just now, but through all eternity. We are his champions. You know, we are his trophies. God has produced us through his working grace. But God. But God, we are his special people today. And how special we are because of God, not what we are, but what God has done for us. You know, it's like that nation of Israel that you read so much about in the Old Testament. And I often wonder why did God choose the nation of Israel. Are they so much better than any other nation was? Are they so much better than the Gentile people? Are so much better than we are? They was no better than any other nation. But God chose them to show what he can do through a group of people. That's the reason he has sustained them over hundreds of years. Not because of their goodness, because you know what they done? They turned their back on God many, 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 many times. They denied God. They done every abominable thing a nation could do against God. But God never turned his back on the nation of Israel, because it proved, but God wanted to show the whole world what he could do through a nation of people. Yes, they turned their back on God, but God brought them back. He scattered them across this land, but they're back in their homeland. So you can just keep your eye on the nation of Israel. Why? Because of the grace of God for that nation. I'll show you what a God can do with a nation of people. And that's the reason they're here today. And that's the reason they'll stay. And that's the reason that land that they are arguing about today, it's their land because God gave it to them. But you see, we moved in. They failed, but God chose another group of people. I tell you, the New Testament time, God chose a new group of people. But God, you and I today, the born again ones, the one that God stepped in your life and they showed you that plan of salvation. They showed you Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary that God stepped in. Now he have chose you to work through. He worked through the nation of Israel now for several hundred years. The time clock of Israel has stopped now. God himself, but God is working through another group of people today, and it's called his church. He's working through you. Are we better than anybody else in the world? No. Have we done the same thing the nation of Israel have? Yes. Have you turned your back on God? Yes. Have you let him down? Yes. But God has not turned his back on you if you're a saved, born again child of God. You are his trophy. I'm going to tell you, you are his great, 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 great trophy that he's going to show out in all eternity. But these verses of scripture here shows us how perfect example of what grace that God can do for us. What God is going to do for us. Not just for us, but for his name's sake. So this is a story about mankind, about you and about me whenever we was lost. And it is a story about grace. Oh, but first of all, it's a story about guilt. Every one of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we was alienated from God. And we was the children of wrath, born in the wrong family. And this is my story about guilt. And then grace come along. But God. God come along and then we have the story of grace. Every one of us today has a story about grace, what God has done for us. That saving grace that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It's a story about grace. But the story's not over with whenever we're saved. I'm going to tell you, it's grace and glory all the way. Whenever God saves us, I'm going to tell you what, he gets us ready for glory. And I also want to tell you, this is a story of glory in these verses of scriptures. So you a child of God here this morning, if not, you need to be. And this is your life today. It's a story about your guilt. It's a story about your grace. It's a story about your glory, what God has bestowed upon us this day. This is a story that every one of us today, that we should look on. The story first is about guilt there in verse 1. You, he said, have he quickened. That means you was dead. That word quickened means to be made alive again. Walking around dead. Who were dead, he says. Dead in trespasses and sin. Now we need to understand this because you see, lost people are dead. According to the word of God, everyone walking around without Jesus Christ, some walking in and out your house and in your families today, and some may be sitting in this church today with your name on this church row, but without Jesus Christ, I can tell you, sir, ma'am, that you're dead according to the word of God. I got to tell you what God says. If you don't have no desire to be with the people of God, the things of God, the words of God, to read the God word today, it says, hey, that person don't know God. I want to tell you today, we need to understand if a person don't know God, they have no desire for God today. But you and I was that same way, but God moved in. It's a story about my guilt. What we were, sometimes we forget as a child of God. We mix around the people of God all the time. We come to church, and a lot of us don't go too far out. We just every Sunday, maybe Wednesday night, you should be on Wednesday night, Sunday school. But we all around the people of God. And sometimes we just forget about what it was whenever we was lost. That's the reason we have the Lord's Supper. And that's the reason it says, remember me. Remember me, but remember what I have done for you because you was lost in sin. That's the reason we have the Lord's Supper to remember. You know, we forget sometimes that we was lost. We forget sometimes that we was running around with the wrong crowd too. We forget sometimes that we was alienated from God. When we have the Lord's Supper, we remember. We remember, but God stepped in our life. But God was on the cross of Calvary, reconciling us whenever we was in our sin and did not even love him, but he loved us anyway. But God steps in to remember the lost people, how they act. So we need to remember them that we may be able to relate to them in a way that understands them. They're lost. They don't know no better. They're lost and they're dead. It says that we were dead. It says in that verse 1, dead in trespassing and sin. We stepped over God's line. The trespassing sin. What a dead person needs is not forgiveness. A dead person don't need forgiveness. What a dead person needs is life. Oh, yeah, we got forgiveness with it, but a dead person needs life. The Bible says you are dead. That means you have been separated. Your sins have separated you, your spirit and your soul, from God. That's a dead person. It's separated from God. Their spirit and their soul is separated from God. They don't know God. They don't care about the things of God. They got no desire. Why? They're dead. They're dead. In John chapter 3 and 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He's not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Romans 1 and 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who holds the truth in unrighteousness. It's already there. Now see, if they lost, the wrath is already upon their head. I mean, whenever you was lost and I was lost, we was already dead. The wrath already was upon our head. It was just a matter of time when the axe would fall. It was the grace of God that held that axe from killing us. But lost people is dead. And a lot of time we try to water a dead stick. You put a dead stick out in the yard and you water it every day and every day till it rot and fall over and there has no life in a dead stick. We try to water dead sticks all the time. We don't know who's saved and who's lost, but we go all the time. We try to encourage all the time, but they're dead. They're dead. You're just watering a dead stick. Now, whenever we saved, we become alive. He says, I've quickened you. I give you life. I quickened you. They were already dead. But now, whenever you're saved, God says, I got to make a trophy out of you. You're not never die again. Oh, yeah, the physical part's going to die. Yes, we know that's going to happen. But your real soul and your real spirit, whenever God brings them together in salvation, that means that you're going to live forever somewhere, that you not never die. I read this all the time at funerals, John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection, when their brother died, and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asked this question, believest thou this, that you will never die? You won't never die. If you're born here this morning, you won't never die. Wouldn't that be enough to want you to have the insurance that your little kids was here on Wednesday night? Wouldn't you want to have making sure they was here on Sunday school to make sure they really did know? Because you see, without Jesus Christ, when they reach the age of accountability, if something would happen, guess what? No, you guessed it. You know exactly what. Paul says, I have a desire to be with Christ Jesus, and a part to be with him is far better. Eternal life is what? What is eternal life? John 17 and 3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Christ Jesus, whom thou hast sent. That's eternal life. When you know Jesus, that's eternal life. And I tell you, when you know Jesus, you can't help but letting it show. When you know Jesus Christ, there's got to be a change in your life. You begin to love the things that Jesus loved. If you don't love the things that Jesus loved, I tell you, the Bible says you are not of his. You have Jesus inside of you. You must love the things that Jesus loves, or you are none of his. You know about him, but people do not know him. We were dead. We were dead, but not only that, we were devilish. In verse 2, we was devilish. It says in verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It says, now we was devilish because we served the prince of the air. Who is the prince of the air? Devil himself works in the hearts and lives of the people that walks around dead. Disobedient to God. You were, I were. The spirit of Satan worked with us. Lost people are dead. The walking dead. They need life. Under the dictate of Satan himself. Yes, lost people. Now they talk about freedom. Now they think they're free. Lost people. They talk about their freedom. And they say, I don't have to go to church. No, I don't have to tithe. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to pray. That's exactly right. They're choosing. They're free to do that. They're lost. But they're free to choose what they want to do, but they're not free to choose what they need and what they ought to. You do not have the power But God steps in. You didn't either. I didn't either. But God steps in. Adam and Eve stepped over the line. God draw a line. Do not take of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yet they did. And they was lost. And then they knew good, but they could not do it. They knew bad, but they could not keep from doing it. That, my friends, is a commentary on every one of our lives when we was lost. You knew good. I'm going to tell you what, your children knows good. You can raise them in a home and they know right and they know wrong. I can assure you by the mercy of God and the authority of the Word of God, mothers and fathers, grandparents, will not bring them up in the house of the Lord with the people of God. Your children will know right and they'll know wrong. But they will not have the power to do right, and they will not have the power to do wrong. And you can tell them, you know better. You know better than to do that. Don't blame it on the kids, mother. Where were you at on Sunday morning and Wednesday night? Wait till they get teenagers, and you say you raised them the best you can, and you say, you know better than do that. Yes, they knew better than do that. But why didn't you give them the power by bringing them to the house of God so the Word of God would give them that power not to do that they shouldn't and to do that which is good? The same thing with every one of us. We know, most of us know more than what we're willing to do. The power comes from the Word of God for every one of us. We know what's right and we know what's wrong. And the power comes in living for Jesus Christ and His mercy. Not to do those things is wrong, and to do those things is right. It goes to every portion of our life, our family, ourselves, and every one of us today. We have a choice today. Adam and Eve, you give an alcoholic a bottle and a Bible. Now, which one is that alcoholic going to choose? He's going to choose that bottle. Because that's what he is an alcoholic. That person is on drugs. You give them a bottle. You give them the Bible. You give them drugs. What are they going to choose? They're going to choose that dope, that beer, that alcohol. Because that's on his choice that they know. They can't keep them doing it. Free to choose what you want, but you're not free to choose what you need. You're not free to choose what you need. Now they think they're free. He that commits sin, it says, is a servant of sin. You're going to serve somebody. You're raising that child up to serve somebody. That child in your home is going to serve Satan, or it's going to serve Jesus Christ. But you're going to serve somebody, and every one of us today. You're going to serve Satan, or you're going to serve Jesus, but you're going to serve. And you're free to choose, but you're not free not to choose. You're free to choose Jesus Christ today, but you're not free not to choose. Because if you don't choose Jesus Christ, you're going to choose Satan himself. If you don't choose to live for Jesus Christ, you're choosing to live for the devil. You're free to choose, but you're not free not to choose. You're going to choose. And you're choosing for your children in this generation. And we wonder why our country is falling apart. When Christians today, they're choosing to serve that wrong person. We were dead, we were devilish, but also we were depraved. Verse 3, it says again in verse 3, among whom also we all had a conversation, a lifestyle, and time passed, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others by nature, born into the family of Satan by nature. Now, our country and society really don't like to hear this now because this is not very popular, Mr. TV, because you were born with a sinful nature, Mr. TV. Unpopular belief today in our culture. The culture wants to change people. Our culture wants to change people. You know what they do by that? We spend billions and billions upon billions and billions of dollars on education. Our education system would be better off if you take half the money they spend around and let me run it. God, I could run it with Jesus Christ and they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Our education system, thank you, Lord, for our godly school teacher, and I'm not talking about them, I want you to know. We got the best school system around, but I'm telling you, as a whole, they won't educate you. Give them proper information, and they'll do right. That is the culture that you and I are living in today. It's not about Jesus. It's about giving someone now the proper education, and they will do right when you give them the proper information. What old Bernie Madoff was a very, very, very intelligent man. What did he do? He stole billions of dollars because he was an educated man. I'm going to tell you what. You educate somebody, and all it is makes a bigger thief out of them, because it's their heart what's wrong. Somebody steal a watermelon off a train, as I've seen people used to, and haul a watermelon on the train, Jimmy. You catch that person, you put them in prison, and you educate them, and they'll steal the whole train. That's what education do for you. That's our culture today, to educate somebody. That's the way that we change them. But people see they already know what's right and wrong, but they don't have the power to do it. It says, by nature, it says we were children of wrath. Well, let's change our environment. Let's change our environment. Let's get them into new homes and new houses and programs, Dr. Obama. Let's spend all of our tax dollars in cleaning up the projects and get them in new homes where they'll knock out the winners again. Change their environment. You go to a funeral where a dead person is in that casket, and that dead person is surrounded by living people. But I'm going to tell you, life don't rub off on that person. That person is in an environment with all around is living people. It may be all around with Christian people. But you see, that dead corpse is not going to get out of that casket because it's in a good environment around living people. That person is dead. Well, let's do it by the encouragement. Now, I believe in encouragement. We need to encourage one another. That's what we do on visitation. You need to come for visitation. Lots of people need to be encouraged. But now, you can't encourage a dead person. See, we don't know who's saved, who's lost. You can't encourage a dead person. Dead person in that casket. All of us get together today and say, hey, come on now, I know you can do it. Get up out of that casket. All the encouragement of the world is not going to bring life back to that person in that casket. Because a dead person, they don't need encouragement. A dead person needs life. Which but God you were this day, the children of wrath. Encouragement. But you see, without life they have no desire. You know, how could our sweet, you know, your grandchildren, they so sweet, aren't they? I mean, you ought to have them first. I understand that now. They're so sweet. They're just little angels. They can't do anything wrong. They just so blessed. I'm telling you. But you see those sweet little grandkids. And they grew up without Jesus Christ and they die. And they die without Jesus. It's hard to me to imagine one of my grandchildren spending a place in hell for my children. That ought to hit the heart of every mother and father and grandchild, grandfather and grandmother that's here this hour. Do everything you can to see that child is in the house of God. It's not enough to see that child baptized. That ain't salvation. You say, well, my child's a member of this church, but that ain't salvation. That ain't salvation. That's not heaven. They could still die and go to hell. They've been baptized this church and 17 more other churches. They must know Jesus Christ. It's our Lord and Savior. If they don't, they're going to spend eternity. All we need is but God steps in. But it's the story not only of guilt, but it's the story of grace. Verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he had loved us, You see, God stepped into my life. Did you know you're here today because God stepped in your life? That's really you here today. Because God stepped in. It's a story about grace. Have you thanked God for your life this day? And have you thanked God for salvation? Have you thanked God so many times for how he stepped in? Me and Brother Robert Thornton was talking before service. We're certainly glad that God didn't give us everything we prayed for. We'd be in a mess. You know what? God stepped in and says, no, you don't need that, even though you thought you wanted it. And something he gives us we didn't want, but we needed. You think about how God has stepped in. Some things and things in your life would be a disaster. But God. We live in a great nation that's falling faster than any nation I believe has ever failed. It's a country that you and I are living in. How many times this country would have done a fail? World War I, World War II. But God. That's the only answer that we're free today. And we're living, even though it's falling, we're still living in the best part of the world and the best country. Because of us, the way we live. But God. That's the only answer we have in our country. But God. But God. He stepped in. And I can tell you right now, some of you family, there have been some times and difficulties that you went through with your children and your marriage, your husband and your wife. But now you're sitting here with peace, contentment. You know what happened? When you couldn't sleep at night, worried to death what was going to happen if that direction keep going. Your son, your daughter, your family, your marriage, your kids, your grandkids, your job. You know what happened? You have peace today. You know what happened? But God. But God. God stepped in. The story of grace. God stepped in. Oh, we thank you today. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Think about your life and it says, but God. The first thing in verse 5 we say, even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us. You know what that means? That means he made alive. He resurrected us by grace. You was dead. You know what a dead person needs? Life. He resurrected you. He quickened you. He made you alive again. As I said, a dead person don't need encouragement. A dead person don't need education. A dead person don't need positive thinking, Mr. TV. A dead person needs life. But God moved in. Not only resurrected us, but he raised us there in verse 6. And had raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Resurrected, made us alive. Raised us, made us the meaning of life. I didn't stay in that coffin when he raised me up. I didn't stay in that coffin. You remember Lazarus? Whenever Jesus Christ says, Lazarus, come forth. And he said he come forth bound hand and foot in grave clothes. And then you know what Jesus Christ said for him to do? He already had life. Now he's resurrected. You know what they told him to do? Loose him. And let him live is what it means. Loose him. And did you know what Lazarus done from that time on? He began to follow Jesus. And do the will of the Lord. Tell me when someone's saved that they won't follow Jesus. When he brings them from the grave, resurrected them, and gives them life, they will follow Jesus. They found him eating with Jesus Christ. When he raised him, he gave him life. And I'm going to tell you, gave him meaning of life. And then you know what? He rested us there in verse 6. Made us sit together in heavenly places. Yeah. A lot of times people say, you can't be in two places at one time. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Every one of us saved here this hour is in two places right now. You are in Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, but I'm going to tell you also, you're in the right hand of God because you're in Jesus Christ. Where is Jesus Christ at? He's right hand of the Father in heaven. You're in Christ Jesus, and that's where he's at. Jesus made Christ and made you a new creation. Now, I have a bulletin. If you don't believe this, you see this bulletin, don't you? Well, right now I'm placing this bulletin in this Bible. Now, you don't see, you don't know what's on this bulletin unless you got one. There may be some things on that bulletin you don't like. Maybe some things that's not right. Maybe this, maybe that. But the thing about it is you can't see this bulletin. Why? Because it's in my Bible. There may be some things about you that's just not right, but I'm going to tell you one thing. God looks at you and he don't see the Bible. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been born again, new. And I'm going to tell you, that's a story of grace. He resurrected you, and he raised you that you go on and do what Christ called you to do. But he rests us also. Just as sure as my anchor holds, we are already in the heavenly places right now in Christ Jesus. But God made you in Christ Jesus, and he sees you in Jesus Christ. I won't go back into Wednesday night, but I won't read that verse of Scripture. Romans 4:8 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. If you weren't here Wednesday night, you don't know what I was talking about. I just want to share it with you just a moment. God don't see you in your sins. He sees you in Jesus Christ. And although that you have sinned, he do not see them because he see they're hid in Christ Jesus. That is a story of grace. God has a purpose. God has a plan. The purpose is for his glory to shine through you. His plan is for all eternity for us to be trophy cases in heaven to show his glory. Oh, it's so great, these verses of scriptures, because it's a story of my guilt. It's a story of God's grace. It's also the story of God's glory. What he's done for me but God. If you had problems, having problems, I'm going to tell you what but God. That's the only answer to your problems, is God going to step in. If it come for the song of invitation this hour, I hope you continue to pray for those. Go by and see them, because I know there's several members of our church is in desperate right now. But I got one thing I can say, but God. God knows and God will do what he has to do for his name might be glorified. I even believe even death, that God brings life out of death. Some things we have to go through, maybe just for him to get our attention, family members and loved ones. Would you admit to me, a lot of times I pray more whenever my toe's in a crack. I pray more when things are not going good than it is when the sun is shining and seems like everything is all right. Whenever I get in problems, I say, oh Lord, oh Lord. He wants to hear from us all the time, not just sometime. As we stand.